The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Avalara. As a trusted Shopify tax platform partner, Avalara automates U.S. and global tax, from real-time calculation to streamlined tax returns, all with one solution. Go to avalara.watsonweekly.com for more details. Also, we're sponsored by Miracle. You don't need another tool. You need a growth partner. The Miracle platform is powering the next era of retail for brands and retailers who are ready to move, powered by AI and built for what's next. It's March 16th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Stripe moves into Shopify agentic territory. Has Salesforce Marketing and Commerce Cloud hit rock bottom? Costco rolls on. And the latest retail numbers, including Walmart and Amazon. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Stripe moves into Shopify agentic territory. Stripe just showed their hand on agentic commerce by publishing a first look of their agentic technology toolkit on YouTube. And it does signal they're moving into enabling more than payments in this era. There is a place for tax settings, a shipping, and a place for your catalog, which can contain a different version than your main product catalog. To be honest, for this version, it's still unclear who is the audience for this. Is it the entrepreneur? Isn't that the same entrepreneur wanting to use Shopify who is giving you these tools more or less for free? Or is it the enterprise merchant? But isn't an enterprise merchant rules, aren't they likely to be more complicated and they need to go back to their own custom stack anyway? And if so, why do they need Stripe to do it for them? What I'm seeing at the moment is Stripe is seemingly more desperate than Shopify to find a place in this agentic revolution. The pullback of OpenAI on instant checkout, frankly, gives Shopify, I think, even more leverage than it had before, at least relative to Stripe. Our next story. Has Salesforce Marketing and Commerce Cloud hit rock bottom? Salesforce Marketing Cloud just printed negative growth from their quarterly numbers, not slowing, negative, minus 1% in Q4 fiscal year 2026. That's the headline. But everything else they release in their earnings deck is also kind of extraneous. In 2023, the company was growing at 24%. That's a healthy enterprise software business, and investors seem to like it. Customers were expanding, and the marketing cloud story kind of held up. But now, at a negative 1%, that's not a rough quarter. That's investors wondering if the dead cat could finally bounce at this point. 4 years of uninterrupted deceleration ended in contraction. The trend line on the chart isn't subtle. It's actually a straight line from the upper left to the lower right, which is precisely the opposite kind of chart you want. From a full year, fiscal year 2026 perspective, 2% growth. In 2025, that was 8%. The year before that, trending toward double digits. The math only seems to be going in one direction. Of course, if you're a listener here, you probably know what they're doing to combat this trend. And rather than acknowledge us, they renamed it. Marketing Cloud became Agentforce Marketing and Agentforce Commerce. Same product, new badge. The rebrand doesn't fix the growth rate. It just makes the invitation to the funeral snappier to write. And at this point, if it wasn't obvious, their customers are leaving Marketing Cloud. And Salesforce, as you've seen and heard, is acquiring companies to bolt new things onto Salesforce Marketing and Commerce to stop the decline. Is that a strategy or a hope? Our next story, Costco rolls on. Costco's recent quarterly numbers were something to make notice of. $2 billion in revenue, up 13.8%. The most important number for Costco is always about membership. Their membership income grew 13.6%, one-third of that coming from a price increase in the U.S. and Canada. If you strip that out, that growth was still 7.5% and retention stayed high despite the price increase. why does Costco win exactly? Mostly, it's about strategy and merchandising. Fewer SKUs, bigger discounts. Costco wins on fresh and the treasure hunt outside of food. The limited SKU model means that every item that makes the cut has to really earn it. The digital details revealed in their earnings call also show that this part of the business is not a sideshow. Personalized carousels drove $470 million in e-commerce sales. App traffic was up 45%. Site traffic was up 32%. And while it might seem like digital execution suddenly got better, usually that's not how it works if you've been an e-commerce operator for any length of time. It's usually a lot more to do with great merchandising, which is always somewhat of a hits business. But Costco, then again, always does seem to hit the right note. I did notice some hesitation from the CEO on tariffs, who said that the situation is extremely fluid with at least 150 days of ambiguity baked in. That's not much clarity for half the year. Ultimately, Kirkland's signature, sourcing diversification, and price investment seems to be the key to their formula for 2026. And our last story, the latest retail numbers, including Walmart and Amazon. Payments Intelligence just released some new data, which shed some light on interesting trends happening in the overall economy, as well as in retail. And to be honest, we thought it was kind of a treasure trove of data. Here are a few elements I really like, which you can use in your week. Retail share of total consumer spending dropped from 34.3% in 2022 to 30.8% in Q4 2025. That's a 9% decline. However, consumers aren't spending less, they're actually just redirecting. Housing, healthcare, and financial services were the beneficiaries. These essentials are eating the discretionary budget, and what's left is a smaller pool that two main giants are fighting over. And frankly, Amazon seems to be winning the fight. In Q4 2025, Amazon captured 11.1% of total US retail spending. That's a record for them. The key, though, is actually spread evenly across a number of categories. Hobby goods hit 35%, up 69% from pre-COVID levels. Electronics at 32%, up from 23%. And clothing, furniture, more than doubled. Health and personal care, more than tripled. That sounds like a vice grip on the market from where I sit here. As far as Walmart, it looks like from the outside that their overall retail share is flat. Year over year, quarter over quarter, basically a straight line. In discretionary categories like electronics, clothing, hobby goods, it looks like Walmart is losing ground. This doesn't fully square with the runaway Walmart narrative, but as a result, it is something I'm paying attention to. On the other side, what Walmart does own is groceries. Their share of consumer food and beverage spending is up 13% versus 2019. Of a massive category. Are we becoming a world of just a few retailers? Necessity spend is consolidating at Walmart and Costco. Discretionary spend is consolidating at Amazon. These three companies are not competing for the same consumer decision any longer. They're competing for different moments in the same consumer's week. Is that worse for everyone else in retail? Well, I kind of think as a specialty retailer, if that's your category, your experience needs to be truly special at this point to attract attention. And mid-market, broad-based retailers have long been in trouble as a result, too. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Avalara announced it's acquired Versori, an AI-native enterprise-grade integration platform for an undisclosed amount. Second, agentic commerce platform Zyg, or ZYG, helps inventors create global brands, announced $58 million in seed funding. Seed funding, $58 million. What kind of days are we in? Third, self-driving electric truck startup Einride raised $112 million as a private investment in public equity funding. Fourth, Thoma Bravo to acquire WEX Group and combine with Octane to form global logistics leader for an undisclosed amount. And finally, marketing platform Profound announced it's raised $96 million in Series C funding at a $1 billion valuation. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter which you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com and find the podcast at the same location or subscribe to it on your podcast platform of choice.